Amen. Praise the Lord. That was a blessing. Very, very good. Very well done. All right. We're in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. And as you see, we will have the Lord's Supper at the end of the service, so you have an opportunity to just ask the Lord to speak to your heart and search your heart. And if there are decisions you need to make, first of all, you need to be saved if you're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And I trust that everyone here has trusted Christ as their Savior. But if not, certainly we would love for you to do that tonight and be born again. That'd be a blessing. But also the Bible does say for Christians to examine ourselves. And no better way to do that than to have the preaching of the Word of God and you ask God to speak to your heart. And if you need to make things right, then trust that you would do that. We did have one saved this morning in the service, a little bit late on the report, but Carlos Gaslin trusted Christ as Savior, teenager, 13 years old, and praise the Lord for that. And then I did get this note in reference to our announcement about going to the nursing homes. And I should have thought of this because I've noticed this. Due to the outbreaks of the swine flu all over some nursing home, or some of the nursing homes have started a rule of no children 17 years old and under. And some of the facilities are not allowed. So really, the leaders of whichever groups are going on Christmas Day, whoever that leader is, you might want to call ahead, especially if you have small children going. And traditionally, we've had many young children go. It is possible that they may not be able to go in for the Christmas nursing home ministry. So just something to check on, just find out. You know, maybe they would just want to know if your children have had the flu or if anything like that. And I certainly understand all of that. But keep that in mind as we get closer to those times. All right. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And Father, we ask that you would help us never to go from the presence of the Lord, that we would listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that we would listen to the call of the Holy Spirit, that we'd pay attention. And, Lord, that we would not go our own way and thus getting out of the presence of the Lord and your influence in our lives. And so I pray you'll guide us and direct us tonight, speak to our hearts, and use your word to help us not to run from you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And that is the title of the message tonight, Running from God. It is a familiar story, one that our children here, and we like to tell it as a story for children, but it is very much an adult story, and it is a true story. It is so true that Jesus used this story as he was talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He uses the story of Jonah and how Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, and Jesus himself verifies this story, that it is a true story and that it did in fact happen exactly how God said that it happened. It's not a parable. It's not a story that, that's just a type of this or a type. No, it really did happen. There really was a preacher named Jonah, and that preacher got away from God and did not want to do what God said. And because of that, God had to deal with him. And I want to just go through this story tonight and again remind us of some things because it is sad that many times we do run from God. We do go away from that which God wants us to do. And we do that in ways of doing wrong. We also do that in ways of not doing right. God will say, don't do this, and we go ahead and do it. We're getting away from the presence of God. Or God says, do something. For example, soul winning. For example, being faithful to church, or whatever it might be. And we will then do what we want to do instead of what God says to do. And because of that, we're running from God. That's exactly what happened with Jonah here. I mean, you know, it's amazing. We tell this story so often we become somewhat numb to the idea of what Jonah really did here. We're not talking about somebody who got drunk. We're not talking about somebody who went to a nightclub. We're not talking about somebody who stole something. We're not, we're not talking about the what we would call the big sins. We're talking about a man who God said, "I want you to go here and preach," and Jonah just didn't go and preach there. And so let's understand that this thing of running away from God, it involves every one of us. We want to look at those that are involved in all these wicked sins that we call them. This is something. A man of God who was a man of God who just didn't do what God said to do. Now, that's just as serious as any other sin. Amen. Obviously, and God treats it that way. God looks at it very, very seriously. And so God says to go and preach to Nineveh. And we already see that Jonah has a little problem with Nineveh. They're a bunch of heathens. And maybe Jonah, I don't know if he didn't think anything would happen. I don't know if he didn't think that they were worth saving or what the whole thing is. He obviously has a very callous heart in reference to the Ninevites. But the truth of the matter is, God said, "I want you to go and preach." By the way, later on, there's a great revival in Nineveh. So God was right. I mean, God's always right, but there's no question about God being right here. And Jonah just didn't want to do it. He just didn't want to do what God said to do. And so he ran from God. Now, here's the progression. It's always like this. You know, God tells us what to do or what not to do. He'll tell us what to do, what not to do as we read His Word. He'll tell us by His Holy Spirit's conviction. He'll tell us through the preaching of the Word of God. And God tells us what to do, what not to do, and then we have a choice. We either do it or we don't do it. We either obey God or we don't obey God. But in a real sense, we do exactly, when we don't obey God, whatever it might be, we are running from God. And God then gets our attention. Now, what a blessing when God gets our attention through conviction. Yeah. Amen? I mean, that's the best way, honestly. In other words, you're sitting in church, maybe the preacher's preaching on something, and God speaks to your heart. By the way, it's not always what the preacher's preaching on when God speaks to your heart. I have sat in many services and had preachers preaching, and God speak to me about something totally, seems like at least, unrelated to what the preacher's preaching on, and God spoke into my heart. But God gets our attention. Now, again, better to have your attention, God, in a service. Better to have your attention, God, in chapel. Better to have your attention, God, while you're sitting at home reading your Bible. Better for the Holy Spirit of God to tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, I'm speaking to you." Best way for God to get our attention is through the Holy Spirit of God and His conviction. By far, you should prefer that. But then we have the folks who God does speak to your heart, God does deal with you, and you still say, "That's all right, I'm going to do what I want to do." And then God has to chasten. And chastening is not a good way to have our attention gotten. It's not a good way. And yet, God does chasten. And we're going to look at that and this progression in Jonah's life. And I think you'll see some things maybe you've never noticed before, and hopefully it'll help us in this thing. I personally like to eliminate that attention part. Amen. I mean, really, when you walk with God and you abide in Christ, as we spend a lot of time on in my Sunday school class, you know, that walk with God, when you sin, usually as you're close to God, you feel so bad, you wish you hadn't done it, you're convicted immediately, and you just say, "God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. I don't want to live like that. I want to be right with you." And you get it right with God. Sad to say, that's usually not how it happens. With most people, God has to get our attention. And again, the best way would be conviction, but often God does have to deal with us in a chastening kind of way. So that's what He did with Jonah here, and I just kind of gave you a brief outline here. Number one, we see God's command. Verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Jonah is a preacher. God said to the preacher, "Go preach to these people." Now, most preachers love to preach to people. Most preachers, especially around here, because I'm here so often, I'm not gone very much. And so we have a lot of preachers here. They want to preach. They pray that I get sick. You know, that's what's tough. I have preachers praying against me. And, you know, they want an opportunity to preach. Preachers like to preach and they want to preach. But in this case, God told this preacher, I want you to go preach to these people, and he disobeyed. God made it very clear. He says, for their wickedness is come up before me. He said, go preach to them. They're wicked. Their lives are wicked. They're a bunch of heathen. They're doing wrong. They need to get right with me. Go preach to them. It'll work. Go do it. And the man of God, you know, he wasn't interested in that. Preachers shouldn't disobey God. But you know what? Neither should you. None of us should. Nobody should disobey God. I preached this morning that Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, we would all agree that if a person disobeys that and they're not born again, they're going to suffer for that, aren't they? I mean, you go soul winning, you go through the plan of salvation, somebody says to you, hey, I'm not interested in that. You say, wow, I just can't believe they wouldn't listen. I can't believe they won't listen to God. And then we come to church, God speaks to us, and we say, well, I'm going to do my own thing anyway. You know what? I just can't believe you won't listen. And there is no difference. You say, well, I'm not going to hell. I understand that, but you're still disobeying God. And nobody should disobey God. God said to go, and notice here, Jonah, as far as God's command, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then the Bible says he went down, and later on it says, and went down into the ship, and again at the end of verse 3, from the presence of the Lord. Again, when you get saved, God comes and lives inside of you. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, lo, I am with you always. But the truth of the matter is, when we sin, we walk away from the presence of God, His influence in our lives. We quench the Holy Spirit of God. We say no to the Holy Spirit of God, which thereby grieves the Holy Spirit of God, who knows what He's talking about when He tells us what to do. But we just say, hey, I've got a better idea. By the way, all sin is you think you've got a better idea. I think I've got a better idea. Jonah thought he had a better idea. And so two words you ought to circle here in this verse is the word from. He went from the presence of the Lord, and two times that word is there. And then also the word down, because when you go away from God, you only have one direction to go. I don't care who you are. If you go away from God, you're going one direction. Your life is going one direction. It's not, there's not an option in this thing. There's not, well, I'm going to live for God, but I'm not going to do His will. I'm going to be a good Christian, but I'm not going to obey Him. It's not possible. Those things cannot go together. If you go from Him, you go down. Your life is going to go down. It will spiral down. And sometimes it is so fast, you will have absolutely no idea what in the world just took place. Amen. Again, Jonah is a tremendous example of that. He thought, I'll just go my own direction. But God's command is God's command. So whatever it is that we disobey God in, maybe it's in getting baptized, maybe it's in tithing, maybe it's in reading our Bible, maybe it's in our prayer life, maybe it's in soul winning, maybe it's in some kind of a sinful thing that we might be doing. We look at that, we say, I just can't believe Jonah would do that. And God looks down at you and I and says, I just can't believe they would do that. There is no difference. It's God's command. Hey, how you doing with the commands of God? I'm not talking about how are you twisting the scripture to make yourself look okay. How you doing with the commands of God? We're so good at just, well, yeah, but you know this and no. Listen, how are you doing with the commands of God? And I understand we could walk out, well, you know, I know there's forgiveness and all that. But listen to me, if there's going to be forgiveness, there's going to be, on your part, confession. And there's going to have to be a getting right with God. And as long as you're saying, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep doing my thing. Hey, you know, I have it all the time with a teenager. They'll come and, oh, preacher, I just really like this, and I really want to do this. And it doesn't matter. You know what you need to do. And what you need to do is get right with God. Quit playing games. Because if you don't get right with God, like Jonah, Jonah could have taken, he probably had his King James Bible when he went away from God. What do you think? I think he did. He might have had his Sunday school notes when he went away. He probably had some sermons he was going to develop when he went away from God. Are you listening? I would imagine he probably had good CDs of good Christian music. Right? He probably had downloaded good preaching while he was on his trip away from God so he could hear some good preaching. You say, preacher, they didn't do that back then. Yeah, but everything's the same. We do it a different way, but I'm telling you, Jonah was messing around with the command of God. He was messing around with his life. He was taking a very, very serious risk with his life. And with a life that God had saved. God's command. It's hard to believe Jonah would do that. And yet it's hard to believe any of us would. And yet we take that trip often, don't we? From the presence of the Lord down. Just remember this. Every time you say no to the Holy Spirit of God, you're going down. Every time I say I don't want to do that, God. I'm going down in my Christian life and in my spiritual, the way I am spiritually. God's command. Number two is God's chastening. It's always going to come to God's kids. Now, you know, we can look at that any way we want to, but it's always, God doesn't have the timeout system yet. Okay, he hasn't learned the timeout system yet. By the way, I'm not against a timeout as long as you're doing something productive in that timeout, like spanking them. You say, that's hate crime. You're going to go to jail. You know, the way I see it, in the next 10 years, we're all going to jail. Or we'll die of something because the healthcare program won't take care of us. So whatever. I mean, you know, honestly, God's chastening. It's inevitable. It's going to happen if you're his child. God doesn't turn his back on it. Okay? God doesn't ignore that Throckmorton is writing letters on the wall with the crayons. God doesn't ignore that. God doesn't ignore Poindexter taking his food and smearing it all over the floor and throwing it everywhere. God doesn't just turn his back and say, oh, isn't that cute? No, God says, stop it! Or else. And isn't it amazing how we push him to the or else? Verse 4, but the Lord, so Jonah did his thing, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship and into the sea. You'll notice these men aren't Christians. Many of them are not saved. There might have been a saved person there, but Jonah is the man of God. And these men are crying out to every man his God. And so they're casting forth everything to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I think that's amazing. I really do. Everybody else is terrified. Jonah's sound asleep. He's snoring. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now, I don't know. Maybe he saw Jonah's Bible. Maybe he saw that Jonah had, maybe Jonah was listening to sermons, and that's why he was asleep. I don't know. Somehow he knew that Jonah had a God and that Jonah could call on his God. And somehow he believed that Jonah's God might be able to help him so that they perish not. They said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And now everybody knows. And God is dealing with them. And there is a storm in the midst of the sea. And I'm telling you, you can't run from God. Because He's everywhere. And always, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It always does. That never fails. Always. You know, David got away with adultery. David got away with murder for a while. But you never get away with it. Because Nathan the prophet got in his face a year later and said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man, David. Thou art the man." I'm going to tell you, when that time comes, it is not a pleasant experience. And for David, it certainly was not. And God dealt with him. But you know, one of the wonderful things about God's chastening, turn to Hebrews 12, and I really wanted to spend a little time here. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. I don't think we understand God's chastening because many parents don't have a clue what chastening really is. Chastening is not beating. Chastening is not hurting just for the sake of hurting. Chastening is not your opportunity to let your anger out on a child or on whoever you're chastening. Chastening is teaching. Chastening and discipline are teaching. Hebrews 12 and verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening..." Now watch this. "If you are one..." And by the way, hey Jonah, if you are on that ship and now everybody knows that you're the reason why there's a storm and the ship's going to sink, and Jonah, if you're the guy they're getting ready to throw overboard because you're the one, if you're that guy, if you're enduring chastening, Jonah, "God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Seriously, what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Boy, that's a powerful verse, and that is a blessed verse. If you're under God's chastening right now, what son is he that the Father chasteneth not? Because it says this, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Now, I didn't write that. God did. But that is the truth. So here's a child out here who is running the streets and they're doing anything that they want to do, and they just do whatever they want, and you can't do anything about it because you're not their father. You won't do anything about it because you're not their father. Could be they don't have a father. And that's exactly what the Bible is saying here. The Bible is saying, the fact that you are chastened by God is proof that He's your Father. And listen to me. He loves you. That's why He chastens you. Well, I know it doesn't feel like it, but just remember, if you're a parent, if you're an adult, remember when you told your children, "I do this because I love you," as you handled the paddle. Remember when you said, "This hurts me more than it hurts you," and they didn't believe you, and then they became parents and they understood. I believe it hurts God more than it hurts us, that He has to chasten us. But you do not miss this. He does it because He loves us. He does it because we're His children. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" You know, when God chastens you, it's to get your attention, and what you should do is say, "Yes, Lord." Amen. "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." I don't know any child that's ever just gotten excited and thrilled about getting a spanking. Never had any say, "Oh, this is great. This is so good. Could you do it again? I'm going to give you one more. Make it two, Dad, please." That never happened with us anyway. Don't remember that. "It's not a joyful time, but grievous. Nevertheless," watch this, "afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." That's what chastening is all. Chastening is okay, Jonah's going down. Jonah is headed away from the presence of God. It's the very worst place he can be. And God is saying, Jonah, I got to get your attention. Jonah, I've got to help you think through this right. Jonah, I want you to understand, I am God. In mom and dad, isn't that what you're doing when you chasing your, I'm the parent. I understand the ACLU doesn't want you doing that. And many other liberals don't, you know, they don't want you to be the parent. They want to be your child's parent. That is right. But you know, God chastens those that he loves. And here Jonah, the lot fell on Jonah. And this storm is the direct result of Jonah's sin. And God's going to deal with him. By the way, I think it's interesting that all these others on this boat are involved right there with him. Yeah, they're in the middle of the storm too. And it is amazing what sin and how many it'll draw into the whirlpool of the storm right along with it. In verse 5, Jonah is unaware, but the storm made him aware, didn't it? You know, it's interesting. He wasn't asleep when they threw him overboard. Chastening woke him up. I don't remember my kids ever sleeping through a spanking. Do yours? If so, I need to help you get a paddle that works. Amen. I just don't remember any kids I've ever spanked sleeping through the spanking. Because chastening wakes you up. Sometimes people rob from God and chastening will wake you up. Amen. Some folks will live a sinful life. Chastening will wake them up. But understand this, you're not going to get away with it. When you go down, God's going to deal with you if you are his child. He always does. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You say, I don't like that. Then obey. Amen. It's like I've you know, we told our kids when they were very young, we said, you have an option. Really? Yeah, you don't have to obey. I don't? No, you don't have to obey. But you need to understand something right now. If you don't obey, you will be punished. That's not much of a choice, but it is your choice. I'm telling you, folks, I know we don't believe it. We somehow think we're going to get around this. You don't get around it. You have a choice whether to obey or not, but God is going to chasten. God's command, God's chastening, number three, and I absolutely love this, is God's care. God's care. Because what the men did is they threw him overboard, and I'm going to skip a couple things. Verse 12, he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. By the way, he's waking up. Amen. Amen. He's waking up. He knows this is my fault. He knows. And the men tried to, you know, they tried to work it out themselves. But verse 15, they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And isn't that amazing? I mean, absolutely amazing. Now God is dealing with Jonah. But you know what? The chastening is about over. Because now we come to number three and we see God's care. Now here's what a lot of parents miss. They miss the love in the chastening. And they miss the care in the chastening. Because here's what God's going to do. And I call this the blessing of the big fish. So many say, well, how terrible to be swallowed by a whale. Saved his life. God sent the whale, and the Bible says God prepared the whale. Literally, it saved his life. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. I have in quotes, God prepared. God prepared. This is all part of it here. You know, the loving part, the God taking care of his child part is all so clear in the scripture. The storm is the chastening. The storm's what woke up Jonah. Jonah said, hey, this is my fault. I know it's my fault. I recognize my fault. I know I'm away from God. I know I'm not right with God. I know I can't take communion. I know I've got to get right with God. Just throw me overboard. And he knew. But then you come to God prepared. It's like our salvation. God prepared all that too. God prepared the cross for his son to be crucified on. God prepared that. God planned all of that. And though that cross is an ugly thing, the beating, the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes across Jesus, hanging him and nailing him to a cross. I mean, though that is ugly, and though it's ugly to be inside the belly of a whale, it's nasty. God cares. God cared for Jonah. There's nothing pretty about a spanking. But God cares. And God says, about a spanking, God says it'll deliver your soul. Believe it or not, that's what God says. In fact, God says this. God says you're better off to lose an eye than to go to hell. If that eye is going to put you in hell, you're better off to lose your arm than to go to hell. And you know something? We're better to lose a lot of things than to be away from the presence of God. Health, money, all of that, losing that is better than a life of sin. Do you see people that live a life of sin? Do you watch them? Do you look into their eyes? Boy, I've been talking to some folks, and just you look in their eyes, and it's just there's nothing there. Just nothing there. And you know, to be honest with you, God is taking very good care of Jonah. I don't know. Can you imagine what all happened those 3 days and three nights? I know one thing that happened. Verse 1 of chapter 2, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. There's all kinds of little ground up fish inside. There's guts. All kinds. It's nasty. You know? I remember when I was little, I saw a picture of trying to depict Jonah in the whale, and it had Jonah in there and had a little campfire inside. It's not like that. Go ahead and answer it. Tell him I said call back. You know, God, you know, I don't think Jonah was in there with a campfire, but I know God was loving him and taking, you know, Jonah knew that God was taking care of him. Jonah knew that God loved him. Jonah knew. He says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. That's what we should do. When God chastens us. You know, honestly, that's how it should end up when you spank your children. It should end up with them, there being a time of love and a time of holding them and a time of reassuring them. Amen. It should be in a time where they say, you know what? I know I shouldn't have done that. Thank you for loving me. That's what Jonah says. What's he say? He says, I'll sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. I'm getting way ahead of myself. It's just so good. God loves you. God always prepares a way back. He always gives us a second chance until he doesn't. You say, how will I know I don't have a second chance? When you're in heaven. Then he just says, come on home. That's when you'll know. You say, yeah, I've had people say all the time, I think God's done with me. No, he's not. You're breathing. Check your pulse. When he's done with you, you'll know he's done with you because you won't be. Amen? That's true. I mean, you know, that's an easy excuse. A lot of people, oh, you know what? God's done with me. I'm just going to go out here and live, you know, a wicked life. God, when he's done with you, you'll know he's done with you because you'll be in heaven if you're saved. But see, God always, always, always prepares a way back. You know, God even always prepares a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. So we not only have a way to escape that temptation, which Jonah could have gone and done what God said to do, and there was always a way for him to escape the temptation to sin, but God also always prepares a way back. All right, Jonah, I'm going to let you just kind of live inside the belly of this whale for a little while and just see what happens. You know? God's grace. Praise God for His grace. By the way, folks, shouldn't we be more gracious? Amen?
Well, so-and-so did this. I just don't know if I could ever forgive him.
You know, the goal should be that they do right for God and their life ends up right. That ought to be your goal, too. That ought to be your desire. You know, parents, you get frustrated with teenagers. And honestly, teenagers are like aliens. Especially 7th and 8th graders. I have no idea how they think the way they think, other than the fact that I was one. It was just so long ago, I've forgotten. But I'm just saying, shouldn't we have the grace that God has toward us? Look at that. God made a way for him to come back. Isn't that good? We're always so quick to shut the door. And yet our God doesn't do that. In fact, he stands at the door and knocks. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Who's that to? That's to Christians. Oh, we use it for lost people, but that in the context, he's saying, hey, I stand at the door and knock. Who's that to? That's Christians. I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. There's always a way. God prepared the whale, the great fish. God worked it out. He prepared the fish because he cares. And God always, if you're here today and you're a backslider, God has prepared and will prepare a way for you to come back to God. You saw this chastening. I can't take it. All right, when you're in the middle of the chastening, and there are folks here, you're determined for destruction. You really are. I know, listen, I've counseled people, I've pastored teenagers, I've pastored folks for a long time. There are some folks, you are so determined, hey, I'm going to ruin my life whether you like it or not, and you're determined. Just remember that Pastor Rogers said this, all right? In the midst of that chastening, there's going to be a fish that God prepared to bring you back. Always. God's care. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Number three is God's convicting power. And sometimes, somehow, within the belly of that fish, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And you know, even down there in the bottom of the sea, God heard him. Huh? Time for Jonah to consider. I think Jonah missed the fellowship with God. I think he missed the blessing of God. I'll be honest, I think one of the biggest things when I backslide away from God is those are things that I really miss. I really feel out of place when it's like that. I think he missed the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I think he missed all of that. And by the way, thank God for conviction. How many times have we been on a wrong path, asleep, and then God chastened us? God dealt with us, and we saw that God cared about us. And the truth of the matter is, you know, we realize God really does love me. And so we decide, I need to get right. And Jonah says, I was wrong. Over and over, that's happened at this altar over the many, many years this building has been here. Tears have been shed at this altar many, many times over and over and over. Jonah's have come out of the belly of the fish and they've recognized, I was wrong. And I know God loves me. Well, it's a wonderful thing. And the last thing, number four, is God's control. And it always is about God's control. Because verse 9 is a special verse and it's precious. He says, I'll sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Bible says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And certainly, there is some scars from our sin. And I suppose being vomited out of a fish's belly might be considered that, because he kind of stunk, I would think. And what God say in verse 2? Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 2 of chapter 1, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Anything change? Well, Jonah smells like puke. That's all that's changed. Of course, all he had to do is get washed up. And now he can go be used of God. I like the fact that the fish vomited him out on dry land. You say, oh, what a terrible thing! Oh, what if he'd have puked him into the sea? You can only float on chunks so long. It's not that bad. Sunday night, I can do that. Sunday morning, I never would have said that. Dry ground. I have that marked in quotes as well. Dry land. Isn't that good? And then Jonah got busy. So Jonah rose, went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He was pretty zealous. He got pretty excited. You know, God's able to save us. God's able to keep us. God's able to put us where we're supposed to be, even if it means going through the whale's belly. He's able. Even if it means going through the storm. When you sin, there's a storm coming. It's just inevitable. No doubt about it. Try to avoid that part of it. Amen. And just do right. Just do what God says to do. And you say, it's just too hard. I'll be honest with you. I think it's harder to sin. I think that's the hardest life. For the Christian, that's a tough life. Don't you ever, you know, parents, don't you ever say to your kids, come on, you're making this way too hard. It's like when David was like 2 years old or three, I don't remember how old, but he was very little, just kind of toddling around and everything, and we had these things, and I was one of these parents that I said, we're not putting anything away. It all stays out because we enjoy it. So we don't put it away, we teach them not to mess with it. And we had this thing, this little scale thing that somebody gave us for our wedding, and a little coaster set, I think it was, and it had a little plastic scale thing, real junk kind of a thing. But my wife liked it, so I protected it. And Dave comes up, and he's just a little kid, and you know he's, you know, walking around like they do, and he puts his hand on there, and he's ready to touch that, and I said no. And he looks at me. You ever have your kids look at you? I mean, he looks at me like, really? So when they look at me like really, I said no. He looks at me even, you know, it's like, well, and he's like this. It's hilarious. I mean, really, I shouldn't laugh about it because, you know, they're just kids. But anyway, he's like this. I said, no, 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 no. And he gets closer and closer. I said, you will pay dearly if you touch that. Now, he doesn't know what dearly is. He doesn't know what pay is. He knows what no is, though. And by the way, when he touched it, he found out what all that meant. Oh, yeah. And he did. Touch, just like that, and then looked at me. And there wasn't much time in between the two. And he was in the storm. Big time. But you know what? He made the wrong choice. I'll be honest with you. You ever tell your kid, you know, it'd be a lot easier if you'd just obey me. You ever tell him that? You know, hey, this would be a lot simpler if you'd just obey. You know, they're screaming before you spank them. You have screamers? How many of you have screamers before you spank them? Isn't that terrible? You know, it's girls. I think girls do that all the time. You know, you're going to get a spanking. Ah! I haven't touched you yet. Why are you crying and saying, ah! you know why they're crying? Because they think you'll back off. And you do. You know, you're making this hard on all of us, right? Do you ever in your mind imagine God saying that to us? You're making this really difficult. Because again, I often think about Jonah, and this is one thing. And it's a thing that every one of us would say, that's not that big a deal, not compared to what we do. Just one thing. And God has to prepare a fish. He has to send a storm, and then these poor sailors out there that are along with him, they have to go through this thing. And then God has to prepare, hey, Wally, go over there and get that Baptist preacher and swallow him so he doesn't drown. And isn't it amazing? The whale obeys better than the preacher. It's sad, isn't it? It really is. But inevitably, it comes down to God cares enough to do it. Because He loves us. And you care enough to chasten your children because you love them. Let's bow our heads, please. But it sure would be easier on everybody involved if we just did right. In our Christian school, I wish we didn't have to have any rules. I'm serious. I'll be honest. I don't like rules in the Christian school. But the problem is, people do things. So you have to have them. And you know what? It'd be a lot easier on everybody if everybody just did right. But everybody doesn't do right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You'd say tonight, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? All over, just slip it up. Before we have the Lord's Supper, something God's dealing with you about. Thank you. Come tonight and we give the invitation. Pray about that thing, whatever it is. Talk to the Lord. Why would you not observe the Lord's Supper? He loves you. He died for you, gave His body, shed His blood, and you can't observe the Lord's Supper? Why not get things right with Him so that you can have that peace? Maybe you're here and you're not even saved. You say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? You're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're saved. Father, we love You and we want to please You. Help us to be right with You. And Lord, help us to do Your will. As we think of Jonah, Lord, is there something You've told us to do that we haven't done? Certainly, I ask You to search my heart. And I want to be what You want me to be and do what You want me to do. And ask You to forgive me when I fail. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the chastening. Thank You for the fish, the whale. It's not a pleasant thing. But Lord, I know You love me and You care. Now I pray that we'll get things right with You in Jesus' name. Amen. 271-271. Lord, I'm coming home. God's speaking to your heart tonight. Do not hesitate. God's speaking to you as we sing. If you need to come, come right away on the first verse. Lord, I'm coming home.
I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to
are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. Lord, I'm coming home. It's wonderful. Door's always open.